Hello everyone, Jared Bapti of barnburner.ca. Our many times a day podcast is called Fired Up, and you can find it on iHeartRadio, Spotify, iTunes, SoundCloud, and over 100 other platforms, including the OSG Sports app. Welcome to another edition of CWHL Over the Glass, and we'll start right away with the rivalry series. It wrapped up yesterday afternoon from Detroit, Michigan, and the Little Caesars Arena, and Team Canada coming away with the win 2-0 in game 3. So Canada takes the series 3-2. It would have been 3 games regardless, so it could have been, the series could have been 3-0 for Canada. It wouldn't have mattered. They were going to play 3 games no matter what, and Canada took the series 2-1. And I'm going to start with a recap of each game and then kind of go into a bit more of the details. So the first game back on February the 12th, that was Tuesday at 7 o'clock from Budweiser Gardens in London, Ontario, was a 1-0 win for the United States, but it's unfortunate that it was only a 1-0 game because Canada heavily outplayed the United States. The shots were 33-21 in favor of Canada, and they outpossessed the Americans for the majority of the game. Now, there were some penalties, goalie interference penalty for Sarah Nurse. She kind of took a run at Alex Rigsby a little bit, but you know, that's what happens. You drive to the net and you know, maybe take a bit more contact with the netminder than you were initially anticipating. So that's what happened there. Couple of roughing penalties, hooking penalty, and then Hillary Knight was the lone goal scorer for the Americans, and her goal was, I mean, no discredit to Emerence Mashmeyer. She played very well in net, and it just, the point shot from Hannah Brand came off a body, and bounced right to Hillary Knight, who was on the right side of the net and the open side on her forehand, and just buried it because Mashmeyer was out to her right, and so that left the left side of the net open for Hillary Knight on her right hand being her favored side. That's probably a little bit confusing. So if you're the goaltender, it was the left side. If you're the shooter, it was the right side. So, but that's what happened there. And other than that, I thought both goaltenders played spectacularly. Alex Rigsby with a 33-save shutout for the United States. And she just proved again that she's one of the top goaltenders in the CWHL. But so is Emerence Mashmeyer. You know, only one goal against, and it was a goal that, again, bounced off a body in front and just found its way to an American stick instead of a Canadian stick, and then hit the back of the net. Other than that, it was a... I kind of said this on the breakaway. It was a little bit of a slower game. Just because there wasn't as much scoring, there was a decent amount of offense, but other than that, that was about it. Canada really turned it on in the third period. They only allowed the Americans 2 shots on goal in the third period. That was it. So Canada was really pressing for at least the tying goal in the third period, but Alex Rigsby certainly shutting them down. Now, the second game of the series, I think, was the best game. I might be a little bit biased because I was at the game, but it was a 4-3 win for Canada at Scotiabank Arena. And again, shots were a lot closer. This game was very much back and forth. 5 goals in the first period alone. 14 shots on goal for Canada in that first period. But the Americans struck first. Alex Carpenter on the power play. And there were a lot of those in this game too. Not only just power plays, but power play goals. 3 of them in the first period. And it was very back and forth, like I said. Carpenter opened the scoring. Then about a minute and a half or so later, Marie-Philippe Poulin tied the game with a great feed from Laura Stacey. And Poulin was just wide open in front. And then right back again, two-ish minutes later, Hannah Brand scores. Just a great shot by Hannah Brand. And then about 2 minutes later, again, Fortino back on the power play with a one-timer from Aaron Ambrose and Marie-Philippe Poulin as well. So right back at it again. And then things kind of quieted down for a little bit on the goal side. And then late in the period, less of just over 30 seconds left to go, a great battle in front. A point shot came from Renata Fast. Natalie Spooner got a stick on it. And then Breanne Jenner was able to whack it past Katie Burt and give Canada their first lead of the game. Now, the second period, no goals in that second period, but three penalties to the Americans, just one to the Canadians. And the Canadians were getting a lot of chances in that second period, but the United States really held the fort. They still managed to get seven shots on net, and only allowed Canada to get nine. So despite the three power plays, Canada only getting those nine shots on net. And then in the third period, Jamie Lee Rattray getting the tap-in goal off the rush with the great feed from Blair Turnbull. Again, this line was so good in this tournament, and I'll get to that in a minute. The Americans struck back. Brianna Decker managed to get one, but that wouldn't be enough. That was the Americans reuniting the Decker, Coyne, Schofield, and Knight line, which is a very strong line, I can tell you that. They got that one goal, but couldn't get the next one to tie the game, and that's how it ended. 4-3 was the final there. Geneviève Lacasse and Katie Burt in net for Canada and the United States, and neither goaltender having a save percentage above 900. So a bit of a tougher game for both goaltenders, but that of course allowed for more goal scoring, which makes it more fun. Top point getters in that game: Poulin with a goal and an assist, Rattray with a goal and assist, Stacey with two beautiful passes and two great assists, Hillary Knight couple of assists, and then of course Decker and Brand on the goals. So that was the second game. And then the third game, this one was from, like I said, Little Caesars Arena in Detroit. 2-0 was the final. And the Americans really poured it on in this game. 38-17 were the shots on net. Rod Black and Cheryl Pounder on the call couldn't believe that it was only 17 shots on net for the Canadians. But that just goes to show in that game, I think, how many shots the Americans blocked. Because it's not like the Canadians weren't getting opportunities. And that's why I think Rod and Cheryl were confused as to why it was just 17 shots on net, because Canada was getting a lot of scoring opportunities, and the shots taken, I think, were a lot higher than the actual shots that got on Alex Rigsby. So a bit of a rough game for Rigsby with the two goals, but I mean, you can't fault Rigsby for either of the goals. Both of them were beautiful plays, beautiful passing plays. And again, Breanne Jenner opened the scoring for the Canadians on the power play. Again, another power play goal for the Canadians. And that was in the first period. Lots of penalties in that first period, but most of them able to be killed off, except for the tripping penalty to Emily Falzer, which led to the Jenner goal. And then in the second period, Blair Turnbull off a great feed from Jamie Lee Rattray. That line was so good because who assisted on it as well but Laura Stacey. And that gave the Canadians the 2-0 lead. Couple more penalties back and forth. But otherwise, that was it. There were some weaker calls in this game, I found. If I remember correctly, yeah, it was Natalie Spooner's interference penalty where she just accidentally skated into one of her opponents. I forget exactly who it was, but it really didn't look like much of anything. And then the same thing happened with Emily Falzer's penalty, actually, the tripping penalty, where Falzer tried to play the puck, and then the Canadian, again, I forget who it was, just sort of fell over her stick as she skated by it, which caused her to trip, but I don't know, Falzer was playing the puck, and the Canadian fell pretty easily, so I don't know. I mean, I'm an official as well, so everything's up to a little bit of interpretation, but I may or may not have called those penalties myself if I was officiating as well. But anyways, you know, that's the way it goes. And most of these penalties got killed off, except for the tripping penalty on Falzer, of course. But otherwise, Shannon Zabados just proving once again that she is the best goaltender in women's hockey. 38 save shutout, and she had to make some dandies. Certainly, the Americans, again, were just pouring it on. And like I said, Rigsby played a very good tournament, and she just had a bit of a rough go with how many shots didn't quite get to her, but was still a scoring opportunity, but were blocked in front. And then the ones that did get to her, she could only stop 15 of them because, like I said, certainly the Blair Turnbull goal was another beautiful passing play on the rush, just a tap in for Turnbull with speed down the right wing side. And that line was very good. As we go now to look at the stats here, Jamie Lee Rattray, a goal and 2 assists, Stacey, 3 assists, and Blair Turnbull, a goal and an assist for 2 points. So a great line for Team Canada between those three. Stacey and Rattray both playing for the Markham Thunder. I'm not sure if they play together too often, but certainly the familiarity with those two boding well for that line. And then Blair Turnbull, of course, playing for the Calgary Inferno. The other lines, of course, of Natalie Spooner, Sarah Nurse, and Breanne Jenner. That was a pretty good line. Jenner ended up getting 2 goals from the offense created by that line. Renata Fast on the back end played a lot of time with that line on defense. She got 2 assists. So a lot of the Furies playing together as well. And then the Poulin, Bette, and Johnston line as well. So a lot of lines for the Canadians with the idea of familiarity in mind. And as well, the coaching staff seemed to really impose upon the ladies not only aggressive forechecking, but aggressive backchecking and speed. So using your speed off the rush, especially when you've got numbers, like I said, both those goals, Jamie Lee Rattray's goal and Blair Turnbull's goal, were both scored off the rush, both with numbers, and just ending up with beautiful passing plays. And then Laura Stacey, her in particular, yes, there are other ladies on the team that possess this skill, but Laura Stacey, I found, on certainly 2 out of her 3 assists, she's just got incredible vision to find the seam pass and feather it through and get it right on the tape of whoever's going to shoot it, particularly on the goal in the second game for Marie-Philippe Poulin, who had a goal and an assist in this tournament. Captain Canada supporting her team and wearing the C as well as she does, as always. And if you look at the top eight, so everybody who had multiple points in this series, there were only two Americans in the top eight. Hillary Knight had 3 points, a goal and two assists, and Hannah Brand with a goal and an assist. Otherwise, I think there were a lot of Americans that wanted more out of this series. Alex Carpenter, Brianna Decker, Casey Bellamy, Kendall Coyne Schofield. They were all held to just 1 point on the score sheet by the Canadians. And then some other big names: Megan Bozek, Danny Camernese, Zoe Hickel, Amanda Kessel, Lee Steckline even. All these players had 0 points, which I think is, give a lot of credit to the Canadians, certainly on defense, that they were able to shut down a lot of those big names and keep them off the score sheet. Now, each goaltender had one game, and I think each goaltender played as well as they could have in each of those games. And I think that for the World Championship in May, we'll see these three goaltenders for Team Canada back again: Lacasse, Mashmeyer, and Zabados. And I think we could expect to see a fairly similar team for Team Canada. I think Anne-Sophie Bette really, you know, she didn't have any points, but this being her first showing in a Team Canada uniform outside of her junior days, I think she played very well. She was very useful in front. She was kind of the gritty net battle presence and trying to take the eyes away of the American goaltenders, which she did very well on multiple occasions, including the Laura Fortino goal in game two, where she was right in front of Katie Burt and actually ended up being knocked on top of her. I think she had a good tournament. I think just about everybody had a very good tournament. So I hope that this becomes a annual thing. This was, of course, the inaugural rivalry series, so I'd like to see this series more often, and I'd like to see, I can't wait to see what's coming up for the World Championships in April. So the World Championships will start on Thursday, April the 4th, and they'll be way out in Espoo, Finland. I'm probably saying that wrong because it's Finnish, but it's going to be way out in Finland, so unfortunately the games are going to be pretty early in the morning. Canada's first game is at 9 a.m. against Switzerland on that Thursday, April the 4th. So it'll run from Thursday, April the 4th until Sunday, April the 14th, the 10-day tournament, and you'll be able to find the plethora of teams in this World Championship: Canada, United States, Russia, obviously, Sweden, Finland, obviously, and then we've got the Czech Republic, France, Germany, Switzerland, and Japan. Japan coming out of the woodwork here is a bit of a newer team to the World Championships. For hockey in general, for sure, but particularly for the women's side of things. And I am interested to see how well they do in this tournament, and of course who ends up being on the final Team Canada roster as well as the Team USA roster. But I mean, there were a couple of players that were left off both rosters. Some notable ones in the CWHL: Melody Daou, who was left off Team Canada's roster. She was at the Olympics and in Pyeongchang, and she was left off this rivalry series roster. And same with Cheyenne D'Arcangelo, was also left off the Team USA roster for this series. Now, of course, the Lamoureux sisters were also left off Team USA, but that's because they recently became mothers, so can't really fault Team USA for that. We're not too sure yet whether they'll be available for the World Championships or not. Obviously, with a new baby, you gotta make sure that your baby's taken care of. So we'll certainly keep an eye out for the rosters and who comes up, because there's also a bunch of younger women in the NCAA and the college systems throughout Canada and the United States that have potential to make both rosters. And so it's going to be very interesting over the next couple of months to see who makes the world championship teams for both Canada and the United States. And for you Shenzhen KRS Vanky Ray fans, I'm sure we'll see Nora Ratu backstopping Team Finland, though. All right, well, just because there was a rivalry series between Canada and the United States, that didn't mean that the CWHL stopped. There were still two matchups over the weekend, and we'll start with the somewhat depleted Les Canadiens de Montréal against the Worcester Blades. And they had a couple of games to play in Worcester. The first game was on Saturday, February the 16th. And that was a big 7-1 win for Montreal. 45-18, the shots on net in favor of Les Canadiens. And as I was just saying about Melody Daou for being left off this team, she had two goals and an assist in this game. Ended up being the second star of the game. The first star was actually Kayla Tutino, which is a bit of an interesting choice. She had a goal and two assists, so she had a good game as well. And then Carol Emard had a goal and three assists, so a big game for her as well. And then Katya Clement Hedra had a goal and an assist as well. So some of the non-regular roster players getting a chance to show Les Canadiens what they're made of and contribute to the team for the first time. Maybe the first time this season, you know, just because of how things have gone roster-wise. Of course, the Les Canadiens being without Marie-Philippe Poulin, Anne-Sophie Bette, both their goaltenders, just to name a few. But have no fear, because Marie-Soleil Deschenes was still there, and she stopped 17 of 18 shots for the win. The lone goal scorer for Worcester was Caitlin Sperling, who was named third star of the game. Unfortunately, it looks like Lauren Dam was, she originally started this game, played the first period, and then was pulled from there after letting in three goals on 16 shots. So Maria Fujimarji came in for the rest of the game, stopped 25 of 29, and the end of that one was a 7-1 final. And then the second one, this one was much closer, I have to say. Les Canadiens only won the game by one goal. So Worcester came so close to getting their first win of the series, or first win of the season. 4-3 was the final score in favor of Montreal. 43-26, also the shots on net. And Worcester really turned it on in that third period. 13 shots to Montreal's 17. And three goal scorers in this one for Worcester: Megan Myers, Caitlin Sperling, again, goal and an assist for her, and Morgan Turner, the third goal scorer for the Blades. Lauren Dam having a better game in this one, stopping 39 of 43 shots. She was on fire and managed to keep Montreal's score total significantly down in comparison to some other games that they may have played. And then Marie-Soleil Deschenes again got the start for Montreal, stopping 23 of 26. A decent amount of penalties in this one. Melody Daou got a couple, tripping and cross-checking. But hey, you know, that's all right. Megan Myers getting the first star of the game, Caitlin Sperling second star, and Morgan Turner the third star, just to highlight the three goal scorers once again for the Worcester Blades. But unfortunately for the Blades, still unable to find that first win of the season, and they're unfortunately starting to run out of time to get there. Then the other matchup of the weekend was the marquee matchup, I'd say, of the weekend. Toronto and Markham, the battle of the GTA in the CWHL. and Toronto coming away with the weekend sweep, which was incredibly important for them, which I'll get into in just a moment. But the games themselves, first off, Saturday, February the 16th, Toronto coming away with a 3-2 shootout win. This game came down to the wire. 25-24, the shots on net for the Toronto Furies. And Caroline Prevost had not just a game, but a weekend. She, first of all, had a goal and assist in this one. So did Cheyenne D'Arcangelo, a goal and an assist in that one. And D'Arcangelo also got the shootout winner for the Furies. And this line in general was incredible. Caroline Prevost and Cheyenne D'Arcangelo in on each other's goals. In the game itself, Shannon Stewart also getting an assist, and Senna Suzuki as well. So those two ended up effectively becoming the first line, Prevost and D'Arcangelo, with the absence of Spooner and Sarah Nurse. So a great game from those two ladies. And then Jess Jones and Kristen Richards, the two goal scorers for the Markham Thunder. Jones had an opportunity in the shootout, couldn't get it done. Nicole Costa and Kristen Barbara were also the other two shooters for the Markham Thunder, unable to beat Elaine Chuli, who stopped 22 of 24. And Erica Howe as well stopped 22 of 24. That 25th shot, of course, the shootout winner for the Toronto Furies. And then the second game, they went down the road to Markham on Sunday to play out of the Thornhill Community Center. And it was a 3-1 win for the Furies. Again, a very, very tight game. 29 shots on goal apiece. They had 11 shots on goal apiece in the third period, but it was Elaine Chuli getting the start again, stopping 28 of 29 and getting the win for the Toronto Furies. Shannon Stewart, the goal scorer, assisted by Caroline Prevost, and then Prevost got an empty netter to seal the deal for Toronto. So again, a big weekend for Caroline Prevost. Two goals, two assists, and that just proves how integral she is to this team and how incredible of a person she is, because she works full-time and does CrossFit and is a Toronto Fury and performed admirably this weekend. Carly Campbell was the third goal scorer for the Furies. Meanwhile, it was Liz Knox who got the start for the Thunder. She stopped 26 of 28, and Jenna McParland was the lone goal scorer for the Markham Thunder. Elaine Chuli getting the first star of the game with her great performance in net. Liz Knox with the second star, and Melissa Channel is the third star. All right, she did have an assist. I would have picked Prevost to be a star in at least one of the two games, but she was the second star in the first game. D'Arcangelo was the first star. But yeah, I mean, sure, I guess. I can't criticize too much, but another good game between these two teams. And as I was saying, those two wins were huge for the Furies, because we look at the standings here. They are 5 points back of the KRS Vanke Rays for fourth spot in the CWHL and that final playoff spot. So their schedule coming up as well. Shenzhen has to face Calgary at home three times this upcoming week on Wednesday, Friday, and Saturday. And that's a tough task, as always, to play Calgary by any stretch. Calgary will have all their players back from the rivalry series. So Rigsby will be back. Johnston will be back. Turnbull will be back. You've got a plethora of highly skilled players back. The Inferno are just miles above the second half of the CWHL. I mean, they've got 20 wins, 4 losses, just one shootout loss for 41 points. They are on fuego, because It's an inferno in Calgary. Ha ha ha. I'm real funny, guys. Just let me have it. Shen, so the Vancouver Rays are going to be in tough against Calgary for those three games. And then Toronto plays the Worcester Blades at home. So nothing against the Blades, but those are two huge games for Toronto that they should win, which gives them valuable points in this race. And on top of that, that's it for Shenzhen. After Saturday, February the 23rd, they're done. They don't have any more games this season, nor does Calgary, but that's okay. They're solidified in first place, I think. Montreal plays Markham twice that weekend, and then the last game of the season is Tuesday, February 26th. Toronto and Markham have one last game, and that will be certainly one to watch if you can get out to the MasterCard Center to see that game on Tuesday night. Do so, because that is going to, I think that game might be the decider between whether Toronto gets into the playoffs or not. So that's that. Things are coming down to the wire in the CWHL, and on top of that, of course, we had a great rivalry series, which gave us a little bit of a look into what is to come in April for the World Championships, but still lots of women's hockey left to go. The Clarkson Cup playoffs will begin soon after the regular season ends. They'll go into March, and then there's a little bit of a break before we have those World Championships that I keep talking about. So still lots of hockey left, and I'll keep you posted on how things go over the next week or so. And I may have something special coming up for you in the next couple of shows, so stay tuned for that. I'm working on an interview or two to come up. So stay tuned, and until next week, have a good week, and keep an eye out on Shenzhen and Calgary, especially if you're a Furies fan.